I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of Billy Bob's. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go down to the crystal chandelier. That's not what my Bible says. It says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You and I are privileged today because we are in the midst of royalty. We may not think about it so much, but there are seraphims and cherubims that are flying through the rafters of this place today. And it's not because we're Republicans or Democrats or Tea Party or socialist. They're here because of Jesus. Where two or three are gathered in his presence, that's where he's at. I'm glad this day that I'm in the house of the Lord and that Jesus is here. And not only is he here, but he's in us, the hope of glory. If you know him as Lord and Savior of your personal life, there's a king living in you. And his name's not Elvis Presley. I want you to know he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you stand with us this morning? We're going to just sing a chorus or two. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I want you to do something with me this morning. Would you lift your hands? Would you lift your voices? Would you lift your hearts, your hopes, and give him praise? Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. This is the most silent place you're ever going to live. Hell, there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And in heaven, there'll be a continual resounding of praise. You like it quiet? You don't like church loud? Well, you're getting ready to go to one of the places that's really loud. And how many are glad you're conditioned to give him praise now for what he has done in our personal lives? Join me this morning in giving a praise unto the Lamb of God. If you want to put your hands together and you give him a clap offering, hallelujah, he's worthy of praise. The King has showed up this morning, and he is willing to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or ask. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and Mighty God. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. 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 With the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. Yes, He made me whole. His love for me, yes, His love for me is like purest gold. My God is real. Stand this morning, I want us to quickly go to Matthew chapter 14. I know that you folks normally stand in the reading of the Word. It's a joy to be here today. Thank you, church, for praying with us. You've been praying for our grandson, Preston Weeks. Tomorrow he starts both his chemo and his radiation, dealing with his carcinoma cancer that took out half his tongue, split his jaw, made him lose all of his teeth practically. Talked with him last night. He's on fire with God. Can you say amen? 26 years of age. Coaching at Henderson. Pray with us especially for him today. And he was going to have tomorrow transport him back from Henderson to Tyler for these treatments. One of his retired coaches, Coach Toon, just retired this year. He took out the trash Friday morning, didn't feel good, didn't come back in the house. His wife found him laying in the street, had to do CPR on him. He's struggling for his life right now. This is another heartache that can come. But how many are glad we know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Let's go to the Word for comfort. The bread, table of bread says this in verse 22. I'm reading from the King James. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit, an apparition." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherein didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And when they were in the ship, and they came, those came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesareth. In 1940, Kenneth Morris, a musician and a composer, boarded on the railroad in Kansas City wanting to go to Chicago. As he boarded on that rail car, he was thinking about going there to do some work in in Chicago. The train took off, and it made a stop, as it did in those days, and he decided to stretch his legs. And when he did, he stepped out on the platform for the few moments the train had stopped. And when he did, he heard a porter singing a song about getting close to Jesus. It got into his spirit. He got on the train, headed northeast. It got so strong upon him that at the next stop, he got off, turned around and went back, found that porter and said, "I need the words of the song that you're singing." He put it down, and in the year 1940, he composed a song that's been recorded by over 700 groups. Patsy Cline, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Elvis Presley, Mahalia Jackson, the list goes on and on. I want you to be one of those singers that sings it today. Simply, this song is entitled, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Would you sing it? Granted, Jesus, this my humble plea. Daily walking close to Thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Oh yes, just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus, this my humble plea. Daily walking close to Thee, close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. I am weak. I am weak, but Thou art strong. How many know the heart and hand of God is strong? Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Yes, I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Yes, Lord, let me walk close to Thee. Sing that chorus one more time. Yes, just a closer walk with Thee. Oh, granted, Jesus, this my humble plea. Daily walking close to Thee, close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Now say it, Lord, let me walk closer to You today. Amen. Before you're seated, turn around, tell somebody you love them, and don't lie, you're in the house of the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Let's give Him praise with our hands, give Him praise with our voices, give Him praise with our minds. Thank you, Lord. These are the gifts that are given to the church, both for the believer and the non-believer. You may be seated this morning. Walking with Jesus, just a closer walk with Thee. The stories around Peter, his lifestyle. He went from being a fisherman to being a fisher of men. Jesus changed his whole lifestyle. Jesus will change your lifestyle. I'm so glad I'm not the same person I used to be. All things have passed away, and behold, all things
have become new. Peter was a man that sometimes we look up to and say, my, he was just so far above us that we can't identify. I want to remind you that the biblical characters do have flaws in their character. Peter's flaws were exemplified in John 18. He's known as the ear slicer. In Luke 22, he's known as sifting wheat. In Matthew 14, he's known as the cock-crowing cursor, the impetuous intruder. In Matthew 26, he's one that said, Jesus, I got your back. I'll stand with you all the way. But all of a sudden, a little lady makes him cow downtown, down to where he denies the Lord. Folks, all of us have spiritual chinks in our armor. But notice what Jesus said concerning even Peter. He said, upon this pebble, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not come against it. Folks, you and I are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, because in us lives the hope of glory. We talked this morning about in Sunday school for just a moment about looking up to the hills from whence cometh our help. But folks, we also in the book of Ephesians are looking down. He has set us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you're on the airstrip and you look around, you see horizontally. But when you get in the air, something happens. You look down and you see the little patchwork and you say, there can't be any sin. There can't be any conflict on the planet. But as soon as those wheels touch ground, I want you to know you'll hear cursings and blasphemies. You'll see sin abound, but where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And I'm excited today that there's a king living in us. And if you and I will walk with Peter, and we will walk with Jesus, we will walk where the master walks, we will walk where no other man will walk, and we will walk where miracles are wrought. Someone give him a praise this morning. Excuse me, my Lutheran Baptist background's coming out. I feel the unction of the Spirit of God. Someone praise him in the house. Folks, you and I are privileged today. If you're saved, your past is forgiven, your present is secure, and your future is brilliant. Someone praise the Lord for what you're about to step into. It's called eternal life and eternity. Peter walked where the master walked. Where did Jesus walk? This is not the first time he walked with Jesus on the water. He walked with him for 3.5 years on this planet. Where did Jesus walk? He walked through Galilee. Let me remind you that when Jesus walked through Galilee, he went to Cana, and there he changed water into wine. He came to Nain, and he raised a dead boy that was in a funeral procession. He came and did other great exploits. Peter's mother-in-law was dying with fever, a high fever, and now he came to Peter's house. I'm here glad God will come to your house. He'll come to your family. He'll come to your community. He'll come to your church. I said he'll come because he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Someone praise him in the house this morning. You have a king living in you, the hope of eternity. Excuse me, folks. I'm talking about Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Give him praise with your hands today. I can't help it, folks. We're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Peter is one that saw him walking in all dimensions, all through this area of Galilee. At Bethsaida, he touched a blind man. At Bethany, he raised Lazarus from the dead. In Jericho, he took blind Bartimaeus, and he restored his sight. Folks, open your heart this day. If God be for us, who can be against us? When you walk where the master walks, it'll be Galilee. Your Galilee this morning is Wood County. Your Galilee is the place where God has placed you today, right here in Quitman, Texas. Why I'm in this place, God, I should be somewhere else, living in Hawaii. I should be living somewhere else in some vacation place, but you still got me in hot East Texas. Why? Because where Jesus walks in Galilee, the blind blind see, the deaf hear, the ones having leprosy have a cure. Someone praise him. You and I have been planted here as light and salt for the purpose that you and I can touch our community. Paul said this, I have learned whatever state I'm in, whether it's Kentucky, whether it's Texas or South Carolina or Manitoba, the place where I was born in Canada, I want you to know I will have learned to be content. God has you here for a purpose. You are here that you should touch lives. That's why we pray. That's why we worship. That's why we live Christian ethics beyond par excellence. Why? Because we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lift up your eyes. Who comes in? None but the King of Glory. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord mighty in battle. Wear that uniform well, folks. I said, don't go to the store like they do at Walmart in their pajamas and their flip-flops. I said, you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I said, hip up. I said, joy up. I said, you represent the kingdom of God. We're soldiers of the cross. I said, we are veterans of the faith. We are the faithful of the living God. Give him praise with your hearts. Galilee is in store. He walked where Galilee was. Jesus not only walked in Galilee, but he walked in Gethsemane. It's the place of the oil pouring out. Notice before he met Peter, he was praying on a mountainside. If you're going to journey with Jesus, get a closer walk with him, you'll have to have a Gethsemane of prayer in your life. My two cousins joined the Navy several years ago, and they were given the privilege to be on the same ship, the Intrepid. It was during the Cuban crisis that they were on a pattern and following a Russian submarine wherever it was going. They were now in the Mediterranean. They were losing contact, so they got one of the aircraft ready. Two brothers could not fly on the same plane at the same time because they don't want to lose two brothers at one time. Seven brothers were enlisted, the Sullivan family, and this set a new precedent in the military. Several of those Sullivan boys were killed in World War II. Howard got on the plane. Ron stayed on the ship. They're doing their exercises, and they weren't planning to be out that long because daylight was coming in a few hours. They were following that sub, and all of a sudden they lost total communication. Folks, when radar, sonar, cell phone, GPS doesn't get it, I'm here glad there's a link towards heaven, a holy pipeline that is instantly touched by the name of the Lord Jesus. Excuse me, folks, something's happening in this service this morning. Some of you are having a contact right now with him, and there's a faith rising up in your heart, and you're getting ready to walk on water that you've never walked on before. Why? Because you're walking with Jesus. Give him praise with your spirit this day. All communication was gone. The pilot flew for hours, and they couldn't find anything. It was dark, misty. They had lost the ship. They couldn't return. It was the only landing strip within hundreds of miles. They're out there in the Mediterranean. 2 o'clock in the morning in Dallas, Texas, a little lady gets up and she gets on her knees in her bedroom and she begins to cry out for her two sons in the Navy. She doesn't know what's going on. She's in Dallas, Texas. Her name is Arpa Zilke. That's my aunt. She started praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. Prayer is not just uttering a few words. Now I lay me down to sleep, my Lord, my soul to keep. But folks, it's when you get into such a travail that the Spirit takes over and you transcend humanity and physiology and you go into the dynamic of a super spiritual world. You
You and I are in flirtation of the spirit of the world of this age that now brings anarchy and chaos and destruction, hatred and war and bitterness and strife. But in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, and the unction of the Spirit. Someone praise Him in the house. That lady stayed on her knees for about 3 hours praying in the Holy Ghost. All of a sudden, as it came, it was now lifted, and a voice spoke to her, said, "It's okay." When they began to coordinate later, hundreds of miles apart, it was exactly the time of my aunt praying for my uncle, but by my two cousins, and they were praying themselves, asking God to do a miracle. Howard said this, and I have some of the information that was given to us by the pilot. It's in my memory bank, on my phone, the testimony about this, of how they were on their last fuel. The engines were sputtering, and all of a sudden, the radar came on, and they were closer than they thought. They landed that plane without any fuel. Hear me, folks, if God be for us, who can be against us? You're going to have to walk through some Gethsemanes, where you're going to have to pray for those kids. You're going to have to pray for your neighbors. You're going to have to pray for your president. You're going to have to pray for the various political parties. Why? Because there's something bigger inside of you. You're walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Ancient of Days, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. Give Him praise, folks. This is the quietest place you're going to live in. He not only walked in Galilee, in Gethsemane, but He walked to Golgotha. You're going to follow Jesus, you got to die. The old man has to die. The old way of doing things. Old friends. How many are glad for new relationships? How many are glad for the bread of life? How many are glad you're not the same person you used to be? The place of the skull, Jesus was presented. But that's not the only place. The last transition of Jesus' life was that He went to glory. Where are you going, Brother Mercer? I said, where are you going this morning? Heaven. Not pie in the sky. Not a hopeful rental. Not a two-week vacation. Not a little mini house in the corner of Glory Land. He goes to prepare a place for us. And when Jesus prepares, it's par excellence. You and I are on our way to glory. Can you praise Him where you're headed? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, you're heading to that place. He walked where the Master walked. My father was a builder, had his own plastering company, construction firm in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. At 11 o'clock on Fridays, he would make payroll for all of the men that worked for him, and he had journeymen waiting to take training from him. He did that so they could have Friday and Saturday and Sunday off, but Monday morning they had to be 6 o'clock at work, ready to take on the job, and he had men that were waiting to work for him. They knew they would get paid. They knew they would be treated right. How many are glad for Christian influence in your Galilee? How many enjoy going to a place and you still get service? They used to call them service stations. I was shocked when I went back to Canada some time ago and went into a gas station. It was $7 a gallon, but it was still good, but they had teenagers in that place. When you came in, they checked your tires, they checked your oil, your filters. I mean, within 2 minutes, they had everything done. It was called a service station. Now it's a convenience store, in and out, up and down, short and fast. How many are glad God doesn't treat us that way, but we're going to heaven forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Anybody about ready to blow that many computer house between your ears? Forever and forever, infinity unending, the glory of God. Dad said to me, he said, "Now, Wes, notice I always like to go hunting with the boys and fishing on weekends, but we always come back for church. Dad never, ever took us to church. Rather, sent us to church, he took us. He may drive all night if he was on a fishing trip up in Ontario. He would drive all night to make sure that he took us to the house of God. He sat through Sunday school, through the choir, and through the preaching. And folks, he didn't catch up on his sleep because he had just driven 8 or 10 hours. But he was always on the front row with the anointing of the Spirit of God. If anybody should have been a preacher, it should have been my dad. God give him revelation in dreams. He could tell people things that were coming down the pipe. Why, folks, it's not hocus pocus. It's living in the Spirit. It's walking with Jesus. It's on assignment like the angels are. Folks, there's something going on all around us. It's the manifest of the presence of Jehovah himself. Give him praise in this place. We're walking and talking with Jesus. Just a closer walk with him. He came to me and he said, "Wes, I want you to go hunting with me today, tomorrow, Saturday morning. I'm 5 years old. Crosby, half your age." I was 5 years old, and when he said that, whew, "I'm going to spend personal time with Daddy." All of a sudden, I went from 5 to 25. A lot of it has to do with mindset. How many know if you have the mind of Christ, all things are possible? I didn't sleep that night. I got prepared for that Canadian morning because we were going to go duck hunting on the river, and the last straggling mallards were paddling all night in a little cove on that river, Dad said, and if we get there, we have to be there at daybreak. 2 o'clock came, and I heard the alarm go off in Mom's room. I hadn't slept. I put on my insulated underwear. Some of you don't know about this, but in Canada, we used to have them with a flap in the back. I jumped to my feet, went into the restroom there and washed a little bit of sleep out of my eyes and headed down the hall, and it wasn't long. You could hear the sizzling of the bacon in the pan. You could hear the thump of the percolator of the coffee. I'm sitting there, and Dad now comes down the hall. He's not as excited as I am. I have not taken this journey, and I'm anticipating some great times with my father. Folks, don't shortchange yourself. Keep walking close to Jesus. He'll open new venues and new places that you never thought possible. When I look back at my life, oh, I just want to say thank you, Jesus, that you are so faithful to me. Dad came in, sat down. Mom came to me, and she said, in a nice way to reach my five-year-old ears, and she said, "Would you like a piece of toast and some milk?" I looked over at Dad. I'm 25 now, and I said, "No, ma'am. Too over easy, 3 strips of bacon, 2 pieces of toast, and I want my coffee black." I doused it with sugar. Now I'm really in a strait. I'm hyped up on adrenaline, caffeine, and sugar. I didn't have sugar this morning, folks, and I didn't have caffeine. I'm just hooked on Jesus. We got to the place. I sat up on the front of that 3/4-ton Fargo truck, which had running boards on it, because all my dad's plastering equipment had to be placed on it, and it was real high up. It was snowing that morning. It had been snowing all night, and when I jumped off the running board, I sunk this deep up into the snow. Dad came around, and he pulled off the snowshoes and pulled me back up on the running board and put them on and said, "Let's go, son. We've got to get there. It's just about to break. Only got a couple hundred yards to the river. They're going to fly as soon as that gets light enough to head south." We took off, and I'm now still 5 years of age, but I'm 25 in my mind, and after about 100 yards, I'm tongues hanging out, I'm perspiring like crazy, and I'm now shrieking back to being a five-year-old. The sugar is leaving, the caffeine, it just doesn't have the same effect. You know what I'm talking about? And then I finally scream out, and as I'm following, I said, "Dad, I can't go any further." He said, "Son, we're so close to success. I'll tell you what, you sit right here. I'll go on. Don't move. I'll be back." I sat there, and now I'm cooling off, and all of a sudden I realize I'm alone. When you're not walking with Jesus, you'll be alone, and your imagination will go wild. Why? Because there's somebody in the airways that's trying to speak to you constantly. He is the demon power of darkness that wants to invade you, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. But we have heard the voice of the bride and the spirit that says, "Come." I look forward to going to the house of the Lord, because in this place we sing the hymns. We sing the songs of Zion. We share the faith that one another has, and we rejoice. All of a sudden, I realized I was a lone pastor, and like Jack London had written about up in Canada, you know, in Alaska, that kind of part of the country. Well, I'm in Canada at that time. I now can see and hear the wisp of the wind and the howl of the wolf, and I'm getting all of a sudden excited, and I'm now feeling so all alone and estranged, and I began to cry. I've shrunk back to what I was. Folks, when you're separated from Jesus, life will be sorrowful, it'll be full of pain, it'll be full of isolation and direct dizziness of the things of this world. It'll keep you reeling, it'll keep you searching, it'll keep you reaching out like that carrot before the proverbial donkey. You know what I'm talking about? But when you have fellowship with Him, something happens. You have confidence, you have strength, you have anointing, you have the access into eternity. Someone praise Him in the house. You have more at your disposal than you can think. You're not poor, cast down. You're not the tail, but you're the head. That's what the scripture says. Someone rejoice this day in the power and the presence of God's most enduring spirit that gives victory and life unto us. All of a sudden, I was sitting there crying, and I heard a voice say, "Wes." Oh, I looked up. I didn't see my dad standing there with that 12-gauge shotgun, having 6 or 8 Drake Mallards on his shoulders. I didn't see that one standing there in victory. I screwed up my nose in a five-year-old voice, and I said this, "Dad, why did you leave me alone?" He wasn't upset. He said, "Son, I see you looked for me because your footprints went this way and that way. Learn a life lesson. If you wanted to find me, all you had to do was follow my footsteps in the snow." His footsteps are all over the scriptures. They're all implanted and impregnated in the leading of His Spirit. They're there when we take communion. They're there when we sing the songs of Zion. I said they're there when we get by our bedside and pray. Peter walked where the Master walked. But folks, he also walked where no other man walked. I'm in Kansas City now, years later. Got a revival campaign going on in a very white-collar church. One of our executive presbyters in our fellowship, the Assemblies of God, pastored that church, Milton Beckett. How I got an invitation to come to that wonderful church, not even sure. I had prepared my heart all night with my little motorhome sitting on the church parking lot. And when I got into the service that morning, God reconditioned my mental process. Have you ever had dialogue with the Lord? His Holy Spirit tells you one thing, and you say, "No, I want to do it this way." Some of you may not even know what this is, especially our young people, but when Israel came to Jericho, they marched around the walls, obedient to God, and God gave them the victory on the seventh day. In the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and some 70s, some of our churches would occasionally break out on a Sunday service like this and put down the regular schedule, and the Holy Ghost would take over and they'd start running around the building. If it's the anointing, it's good. If it's put on, it's just put on. You'll know the difference. Peter walked where no other man walked. When you walk with Jesus, it's isolation. Midian to Moses. Joseph, a pit. Daniel, a lion's den. The three Hebrew children, a fiery furnace. But when you walk alone, the fourth man, he'll show up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sitting on the platform, the worship team's going on, and God said, Wes, I want you to have a Jericho march in this church. I said, no. This is a white-collar church. They don't do that up here. Maybe in Texas and Louisiana, down in the swamp area, you know, they're a little bit more demonstrative in their faith, and they're just a little looser, you know. I said, this is mid-America. This guy has written for the Pentecostal evangel, many articles. He's a prolific writer, fantastic pastor, been here almost 40 years. Wes, I want a Jericho march. When you walk where the Master walks, you'll see your Galilee, you'll see your place and purpose. But when you walk alone with Jesus, He will infuse you with dynamics that you can't get from grandma, grandpa, preacher, teacher. It's revelation of the Spirit of God. I'm having dialogue with the Lord. Now, Lord, we're in a revival. Can we do it tonight, Sunday night? That's when we had revival, more than just Sunday's morning. Little cheek and tongue. We're very sophisticated today. We don't need as much as we used to. He said, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. I stepped to the platform after Brother Beckett gave me a phenomenal introduction. Man, I didn't know I was this guy that was going to speak. I turned and I said, Pastor, this is not on you or the church, but I've tried to learn to be obedient when I walk alone with the Master. And this morning the Lord has told me, I was not planning this. I'm not just somebody that's an emotionalistic type of person to jump on the latest fad in the church. But God spoke to me and said that we need to have a Jericho march. And when I said that, his head went down, and that bald-headed head looked like a Macintosh apple. If you don't know what that is, they get really red. He was looking at his feet, and now you could sense an anxiety in the church. Because as the head goes, so the congregation goes. That's why when I was pastoring, I want to accentuate Jesus, not Wes Wirch. You folks are blessed to get the Word of God the way you get it here. I want you to give an applause to your leadership in this church. Is that as good as you can do? Come on. Letha was at the organ. I went around that magnificent building by myself. One lap. People were standing there, and you could tell husbands and wives were nudging shoulders and looking down and looking at their watch. Oh, we got a lunatic from Texas. I was holding meetings up there some years ago, and they asked me if I was the wacko from Waco. I went around the second time, and I still am doing solo. When you walk where the Master walks in your journey towards Him, you're all alone. When I came around the second time, I said, Letha, play O When the Saints Go Marching In. I grabbed my horn on the third round. Nobody moved. On the fourth round, the associate pastor who had been leading the worship that morning, he got behind me. And about halfway around that building, I looked back from where the clock was towards the pulpit, and the pastor stepped off now to get in line. We're not criticizing the pastor. God was dealing with him as he will deal with you and I. When he stepped off that platform, it was like the electricity of all of heaven came down. People jumped out of their pews and ran down to where the pastor was and started hugging him. You see, when you have people together, you're going to have opinions and conflicts, things that can hurt, words that can come out, even in a congregation. I'm being very strong this morning, but I love you. I love you. Even out of a place like this, if we're not walking with Jesus, somebody else will get us to do Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That started about 11 o'clock. It's now 12:30. And the church is having a revival. People are hugging necks. People are running to the altar and taking friends, and they're praying together. Folks, this is the dynamic of the Holy Spirit that we have circumvented in these last days. I want to see Holy Ghost revival. Last Sunday, a young lady came to me as we were in the altar praying, and she said, "I used to be on fire for God." I said, "Let's start all over. Let the Holy Ghost loose." And she broke out in the language of the Spirit. She began to defy Satan and all of his works, and she walked out leaping and praising God. Let's see some more miracles in these last days. Twelve thirty, pastor finally gets a hold of the microphone. "Congregation, I've got something to say. I have sinned. We just come through Jimmy Swaggart, PTL. I mean, if you walk close with Jesus, you can skip those versions and you can just keep on going in intimacy with the Lord. I'm waiting to hear some horrible story. I've known this man for a number of years. He said 25 years ago in this church, on a Sunday morning, we had our last Jericho march. He said, "I want you to know that it didn't go right. I was offended. We had some fleshly, carnal people thought they were spiritual, and they took over. And it took everything we had to get it under control." You see, the pastor has the authority for that, the final authority in the church. That's his obligation. It's a sacred vow, folks. That's not a power move of the flesh. There are divine authorities that God has placed. And how many are glad we have the safety of the instruction of the Word of God? He said, "I have sinned because 25 years ago after that service, I made a vow. I'd never, ever again have a Jericho march in this church." He said, "God is in this today." He said, "This is of God. I've repented. We needed this Jericho march today." Backtrack 30 years ago, that's when that happened. My cousin passed away in Kansas City, pastoring there. We went to the funeral, and as we were getting ready to leave to drive back to Texas, my cousin by marriage, she comes running to us and said, "Wes and Letha, before you go and head back to Texas, there's something I want to tell you." We stopped right there at the back of the church where the funeral service was. She said, "You don't know this, but your lives have helped mold my life." We said, "We've been away from you for 30 years. How could we have affected?" She said, "Do you remember that Jericho march?" "Oh, yeah, 30 years ago. Yes," she said, I was 12 years of age, and I was in that service, and when the people started going around the walls, I just thought it was a lot of fun, and I grabbed my best friend, Carrie, and we held hands, and we went around, and we were just having a good time. We didn't understand spiritually what was going on, but by the time we got around two rounds, something hit both of us, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon us, and the anointing has made a difference in my life. She said, thank you for your investment 30 years ago, but you know, obedient to God, when you walk with the Lord, you're going to walk where no other man walks. There's only one snowflake that looks alike, and it's itself. There's only one grain of salt that looks itself. Every leaf has its own personal touch. You have been made wonderfully and fearfully in the presence of God. He's looking for somebody that he can walk with, that he can manifest himself in with joy and with utter grace. Our district here was under wonderful leadership in our women's ministries. Our now assistant general superintendent is in Springfield, was our superintendent here for a number of years. Brother Rick DeBose saw him a few weeks ago, and he ran up to me and hugged me and said, Wes, I love you, I love you, I love you. I said to him, I love you, I love you, I love you. We had a love-in session. Hippies aren't the only ones that know about love sessions. By Rick's invitation, when we had a change in our women's ministry leadership, he invited the national director of the women's ministries to come to North Texas. We were in one of our convention meetings, and Letha, being the social butterfly she is, that's that lady I married 57 years ago and still flying with her. She hasn't thrown me out yet. She's been conditioned. She walked up to the young lady that has taken this position by the name of Carrie. And she said, welcome to North Texas. Understand you came from Springfield, the national office. Yes, yes, yes. Said, well, I just want to welcome you to one of our ladies' groups. And so they were talking, and she said, by the way, where are you from? She said, well, I'm originally from Missouri. Oh, really? She said, well, what part of Missouri? She said, the Kansas City area. She said, the Kansas City area? Yes. Lisa says, well, we've got relatives and friends there that are pastoring. Do you know the Beckett? The Beckett, she said. Tammy's my best friend. Some of you got the spirit of prophecy on you already. Lisa says, you know Tammy? Yes. She says, do you remember a revival 30 years ago? Oh, yes, the one we had with the Jericho March. She said, I got in line with Tammy, and we were having fun. We just thought it was a kid thing, and we were just having fun. But all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost got a hold of us. And she said, I was in that service. Letha said, I was playing the organ. That was my husband that was preaching that day. If God be for us, who can be against us? When the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak, let him speak. Would you stand with me this morning, just a closer walk with thee?